be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, on this 97th anniversary of the first of the six apparitions to the three shepherd children in Fatima, the Word of God helps us to ponder what is happening here. We know in any private revelation that Mary never intends to give us anything truly new. We don't have to believe private revelations in order to be good Catholics. But what Mary essentially does, she comes to reinforce the messages of her son that often we have failed to remember intellectually, or failed to put into practice morally, or both. And so what happened in Fatima was this great reminder for us. And still, 97 years later, we can profit very much from what Our Lady said. Readings of the Word of God today, we saw an image of Our Lady coming down from heaven, adorned like a bride for her husband. That voice that echoes throughout heaven, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race." We remember very much that it was within her that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, dwelled among the human race, with our own flesh. We heard there Jesus saying, "I make all things new." Whenever Mary has been sent down from God, in Guadalupe or in Lourdes or in Fatima or any of the other approved apparitions, she has sought to renew us with the ever-renewing power of the Gospel. And in the Gospel today, Jesus wants us to remember that she is our mother, that she has accepted us as her beloved sons and daughters, and that we need to allow her to raise us, just as Jesus himself allowed her to raise him according to his humanity. So what were the lessons that Our Lady taught us when she came down to those three shepherd children? First lesson is we seriously need to pray for the conversion of poor sinners. Yesterday we had a tremendous event, frankly. God always draws good out of evil, and yesterday he turned a day that was going to be totally infamous into a glorious day. The Satanic Mass was eventually booted from Harvard's campus. They were scrambling all over the place to find something. It looks like they just went to have drinks in a bar in a Chinese restaurant across the street, dressed up in their silly, stupid costumes. And the president of Harvard, once upon a time, it's the oldest college in the country, used to be virulently anti-Catholic. And this non-Catholic president, Drew Faust, decided to go to Eucharistic adoration and benediction at St. Paul's in Cambridge, surrounded by about 1,600 people in a church that fit 1,100, got down on her knees before God. What a tremendous turning around of things. But it happened because Catholics all over the world were doing prayer and adoration, praying for this. And Mary wants to get us to pray like this as an ordinary thing. She came down to three little kids, 7, 8, and 10. Why? Not just because they were insignificant in the eyes of the world, but because they would obey. When she asked them to do sacrifices for sinners, they immediately started to do it. Started to do little pinpricks over the course of the day. Started to give up sweets. Started to offer up a whole bunch of other things, including the illnesses, the Spanish fever that Jacinta and Francisco would get. They were offering it all up for the conversion of sinners. Do we hear that message and respond in that same way? Or do we just kind of go around, hey, I'm all right, provided that there's no satanic mass going on? It's a constant message. We know that our culture is getting worse, not better. And one of the reasons why it's getting worse is because we're not praying our knees off. And we're kind of allowing it. We're not doing that reparation the way Mary always prays and the way she wants us to join in that prayer. Will we be like Luzia and Francisco and Jacinta in heeding this message and praying? You know, she taught them the prayer we say between the mysteries of the rosary. Some of the times it can just be perfunctorily said, but, oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Lead us, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. This is a prayer that Mary constantly prays and wants us to echo with her. Second thing we see is the consequence of what happens when people don't turn away from sin. She gave three great visions, three parts of the secret of Fatima that have all now been revealed. First part was an image of hell. It frightened the little kids like crazy. Hell's real and people do go there. And that really spurned them on because our prayer and adoration have great stakes. It matters. It's not just a pious activity we do to please God. It's something that's far more important than firemen going in to a children's hospital to save babies. They'd just be saving them for this life. What we're called to do is something far greater. But hell's real. Second thing we see as a result of sin is we see the advent of communism. She specifically asked for prayers for the conversion of Russia, for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. We'll get to her Immaculate Heart once again. But we still need to be praying for Russia. I mean, if we're paying attention to what Vladimir Putin is doing, he's trying to reestablish the Soviet Union. He's trampling over the Ukrainians. And many think that this is just a beginning. Are we praying for that situation there? Are we praying for the situation in Syria? Are we praying for the situation in North Korea? Praying for the situation in China? Praying for the situation in Cuba? Praying for the situation in Venezuela? We can multiply the examples. But Our Lady was calling the entire church to consecrate Russia. Not just Russians. She was calling us all to pray for Russia in a particular way through her own prayers. She'd likewise be calling us to consecrate the United States through her Immaculate Heart, to consecrate the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, to consecrate the city of Fall River, to consecrate our families. How important that is, and we'll return. Third vision she saw was the persecution of the church throughout time, in a sense, but particularly in the 20th century. More Christians were killed for the faith in the 20th century than all other 19 centuries combined. Many Catholics don't know it, but it is about 60 million Christians who perished for our faith in the last century alone. She gave them a vision of a city, almost a way of the cross, in which there were cadavers everywhere, lay people, religious, priests, and there at the top of that Via Crucis was a bishop dressed in white who was assassinated. That, of course, has always been interpreted as the assassination attempt on this day, 33 years ago, of St. John Paul II. John Paul II, as soon as he was able to speak, said a mother's hand guided the bullet. Should have killed him. A trained assassin, closer than I am to you, targeted him. It pierced five vital organs, and he didn't die. And he went a year later and put the bullet in the crown of Mary and the Capolinia in Fatima. This is the persecution of the church. All three are a result. Hell, atheistic communism, and the persecution of the church, all as a result of evil. And that's why Mary wants to call us to pray. Do we? Third thing I want to talk about is what she said was the solution for sin. It never ceases to fascinate me that when she was describing the remedy for all these ills, she didn't describe Eucharistic adoration, as important as it is. She didn't describe getting to know the Bible, as important as that is. She didn't talk about setting up food pantries or peacemaking academies, all of which would be important. She said, consecration of my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on First Saturdays. Consecration of her Immaculate Heart. To recognize that if we're truly consecrated in Our Lady's consecration, in her Son's consecration to the Father, that is the way we will be totally transformed. John Paul II used to pray every morning. St. Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort's consecratory prayer. I'm all yours, Mary, all I have is yours. I accept you into the totality of my life. Give me your heart. We need that heart, which the future Pope Benedict XVI said when he was interpreting the third part of the message of Fatima on June 26, 2000. He said that a heart like Mary's is stronger than all the bullets and the bombs and the hatred. We could add hijacked airplanes and tanks and everything else that the world can muster. And Mary wants to give us that type of heart that in that scene of the Annunciation changed the history of the world. But she wants us regularly to consecrate ourselves, not just once and for all. As John Paul II taught us, it's a consecration that's supposed to be lived every day. When we make our morning offering, that we consecrate ourselves in Mary consecration to the Lord. That's the secret. When we become more like Mary, we remedy sin, because it's Mary who teaches us how to stomp on the head of the devil who always has enmity toward us. Have we learned that lesson from Our Lady? Have we consecrated ourselves for real? Do we continually consecrate ourselves personally? But she also said something else there that is generally forgotten, that I think is very important, and it's one of the things that I've been wanting to talk to daily Mass goers about. It's precisely this. She asked for a communion of reparation on First Saturdays, which doesn't mean Saturday afternoon at the Sunday Mass. She's asked us to come at least on First Saturdays and receive Holy Communion well, and to go to confession before or after, within 8 days of that Mass, so that our heart truly can be pure. One of the things I've never figured out is why Saturday morning Mass is by far the least attended of the week. Never been able to figure it out. I think part of the reason might be in a lot of places priests don't celebrate Mass, tragically, on Saturday morning. They don't offer Masses to Our Lady when we can. But I think part of it is bad habit, and it's a bad habit that in a lot of places happens like this. Daily Mass goers will go to Mass every single day except Sunday. They'll go Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock here, and then they'll do the twofer on Saturday afternoon. Going on Saturday afternoon and counting it for Sunday, so that the one day they don't come to Mass is the most important day of the week to come to Mass. Now, they are fulfilling their Sunday obligation by coming on Saturday afternoon. No sins involved here. But there's something big that's being missed. You know, I made a couple ordination promises. One was always to celebrate Mass on Saturday. Because when I was a layman, trying to go to daily Mass on Saturday, a lot of the times I'd be looking all over the place. I may have told the story once when I was out on Cape Cod, staying at a classmate of mine from Harvard's parents' place out there for a weekend when we were studying. We wanted to go to Mass on Saturday morning, so we started to call all the parishes on the Cape. Couldn't find one Mass. Now, there turned out to be one in Osterville, but they didn't have it on their answer machine, and it wasn't listed. So we hopped into a 12-foot Boston Whaler on 6 foot waves, going across to Edgartown in Martha's Vineyard just to be able to go to Mass, while all the priests on Cape Cod were just sleeping on Saturday morning. I said, that's never going to happen to anybody who's anywhere close to me. That we will always have a Saturday Mass, because it is a Mass specially dedicated to Our Lady, and Our Lady specifically asked, at least on first Saturdays, for us to go. So I implore you, if you're in that habit, it's not a sinful habit, it's just not a good habit, of not coming to Mass on Saturday morning and instead just going on Saturday afternoon, please do all that you can to change. A parish that really is consecrated to Our Lady, a parish that loves Our Lady, will have the biggest daily Mass crowds on Saturday morning, because that's a day in which we invoke her, we recognize how much we need her to be our mother, to teach us, a day on which she wants to renew our hearts and make all things new through the graces that she gives us flowing from the heart of her Son. As we do what she asked those three shepherd children to do, to really pray for our own conversion, our own salvation, and the reparation and the conversion of the whole world. Today, united with Our Lady, in whom God came to dwell among the human race, we ask her to intercede for us, that we might treasure to receive that same Son within us whom she bore for 9 months, and that we, like Blessed Francisco, Blessed Jacinta, and one day we hope Saint Lucia, we might please her as much as they did, and help, like they did, save the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.